Hello, this is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Tuesday the 20th of September 2016, and my name is Tom Simpson. Welcome to this week's show, and now that I'm back in Belfast, I thought I'd do a better job at hosting than Patrick. I hope you agree. On this week's show, the lads talk about another fantastic four-point weekend for the Belfast Giants, and we'll hear from a few guests as always. They'll look around the league and answer your questions in the fan agenda. I hope you enjoy the show.
Well, I think my job's in jeopardy here. Thank you very much to Tom Simpson for giving us the introduction to today's show. It is fantastic to hear from him and fantastic that he is back in Belfast, and we send all our love to the Simpson family. A hell of a lot to talk about. Another 4-point weekend for the Belfast Giants. And joining me as always are Aaron, who is back, and Mr. Majimsey.
Evening, guys. Good to be back after a tough week of entertaining a few foreign guests up in the Derry/Londonderry/Stoke City.
How are you, Divi?
Sorry. I was trying to think of a witty comment. Londonderry, but I can't think of anything. It's just not going to sound really bigoted. So good evening.
That's a good way to start the show. Good evening. Boys, let's get stuck straight into it. The Belfast Giants had another fantastic 4-point weekend up against the Caps at the SSE Arena and then over against the Stars at the DIA. The game against the Caps, well, that was a 3-1 win for the Belfast Giants. Two goals from Michael Forney in the second period before Stahl pulled one back for the Caps, and Steve Saviano with his first goal for the Belfast Giants into the empty Edinburgh net. Aaron, we're going to talk to you about this one. You were there. You were covering it for BBC Northern Ireland Sport Facebook Live. Branching out, I see. But for the Belfast Giants, it was maybe a bit of a slow start before two great goals from Forney.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think from what I heard, there was a cut before in the arena. Dimitri Vegas or someone, I don't know, one of these things these youngsters go to these days. And
that used to be us.
Did, yeah, we didn't get to go to concerts, though. We had to go to, you know, fields and see them in fields and things like that. But anyway, no, there was a big concert on. Even in arriving into the ice looked awful, to be honest. There were a lot of sort of dark streaks across it, which pretty much must have been where, you know, drinking stuff had leaked through the rain and so on. So I believe that the guys didn't get to have a morning skate. And I think obviously Edinburgh travelled over. So I think for both sides going out, they just didn't quite have the legs in the first period. And the first period was a little bit, it was just a bit lackluster. There wasn't really much happened. You know, the Giants probably maybe didn't dominate, but certainly shaded, you know, the possession and the chances, but didn't really maybe look like scoring, you know, and Fullerton in the Capitals goal actually played a fantastic game for what was, I believe, his debut as well. But the turning point really came in. They got on the power play for the end of the first and the start of the second, and they got the goal. I think the penalty had more or less just expired, and Forney came out from behind the net and fired a fantastic shot up into the top corner and put the Giants ahead, and really from there they pressed on. Forney got a second, and to be honest, going into the third and right towards the end, it really did look, I mean, Murphy was tested a few times. There was one particular pad save with his right pad. He just stuck the pad out at the last second and kept it at 1-0 at the time. Jack Bagan through Forney again, and you know, it looked pretty much there and done. And unfortunately, a little bit of a bobble just outside the blue line on that ice that we talked about that maybe wasn't great over Coach Walser's stick let Jared Stahl in alone on Murph, and he got the goal with about a minute left, unfortunately. But, you know, we managed to get the empty net goal and get a pretty, well, maybe not convincing win, but certainly a comfortable and professional win.
Yeah, we'll hear in a second from Coach Walser. He was actually quite contrite about the that goal going in against Murph, that it was his point.
The funny thing about that was I actually missed the goal because I was making my way from the stand down to the tunnel for the BBC thing you talked about. So whenever I asked him about that, I hadn't seen the goal, so that was a slightly awkward. Yeah, a slightly awkward moment, but I think it went all right there.
And like you say, Travis Fullerton, 36 shots, 34 saves on his debut for the Edinburgh Capitals, and he went on the next night to face his former side in the Brayhead Clan and get the win. He seems to be, as was the Edinburgh Capitals as a whole, seem to be a much improved outfit.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly played a well-structured game. As I say, especially that first period, they didn't really give us many good chances. And even the goals that we got, obviously the first was a power play goal. It was just after the power play, so with the extra man. But they kept us quite well to the outside. And then any time we did get in close, I mean, there was one save in particular from, I think it was Chris Higgins, where Fullerton sort of almost Dominic Hasek style on his back and flicking, stacking the pads, for one that basically it was an absolute robbery on Higgins to keep his side in the game. And I think, a bit like last year at the start of the year, the Caps took points off, teams including ourselves, especially over in Edinburgh. And I can see them doing that again. And I just hope that that this year they can, hold their roster together for a bit longer. I'm pretty sure as well, actually, they've actually 16 imports on the books now. A couple of them are guys that are in Edinburgh sort of as spares for other reasons. Mm-hmm. But, let's hope that this year is the year that they see it through.
Mentioned there about the post-game interview with Derek Walser. Let's actually listen to that now.
Okay, joined now by the coach. Coach, following on from two wins last week, I thought the guys tonight, first period was maybe, it was quite even, although we probably shaded it there, but the second period we really drove home the advantage.
Well, we just played the right way the second period. Again, we came here this morning, there's no ice available, it was after the concert, sometimes it happens in the warm weather, and we just came in a little sluggish. It happened some nights, but we found a way. We played smart in the first, didn't give up any goals, just played smart. And then the second period, we had our jump. We emptied the tank a little bit, maybe too much. We had a lot of opportunities to go up 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, couldn't score. Their goalie held them in it. And in the third period, we just got on our heels. And instead of forechecking, we just sat back. And our part of our strength in our game is putting pressure and skating and using our feet and our speed as a weapon. And we just didn't do it tonight.
I think you sort of alluded to him there, but Travis Fullerton in the Edinburgh goal, he made some top saves. He threw himself around a lot, but the guys didn't let their heads go down whenever they couldn't get past him.
No, we did good. Like, we kept putting the pressure on. Sometimes goalies have your number, and he did a good job. We had second and third opportunities, and then you can see that team's trying to gel also. They're trying to block shots and everything else, and they've got a good squad. The problem is with us, and like I said, in the third period, we just sat on our heels instead of dictating the pace, limit, and pressure when we could have. But all in all, it's all learning curves, and we'll get it straightened away. But I'm happy with the 2 points and the effort. Again, the effort was there. It wasn't that we weren't skating. We just sort of tried to protect more than pursue the puck.
And at the other end, Stephen Murphy a bit unlucky at the end not to get the shutout that he probably deserved. But, he didn't have much to do, especially early on. But whenever he was called on, he made some, again, a bit like Fullerton, a lot of really good saves.
We made a lot of traffic saves where there was just him by himself seeing the puck. We did a good job protecting him. And I'll take the blame in the last one. I tried to put it down and hit it. It hopped over my stick. And, I feel bad for it because you don't want to be the guy that makes the mistake. But I made that mistake. And, I know the ice conditions. I'm a smart enough player. I got to make sure I get something on it. But all in all, Murph has been rock solid the last couple games. And, that's what we need of him. He has to make those saves. There's going to be a lot of nights he's not going to get a lot of action. And then all of a sudden he's going to get action. And right now he's battling through really well. And hopefully we'll get whistles soon so we give him a night off here and there.
And, looking at the team in general, a few games into the season now, how do you feel the lines are gelling? Obviously Mike Forney's been sort of very good so far. I think he's about 5 goals so far in 6 games or something like that. But that line seems to be clicking well. Has Blair Riley made a big difference there?
Well, Blair does the little things. He gets in the forecheck and creates space for Higgy and Forney to do their thing. And then I really like Dez, Rudy, and Benny. They have the same sort of combination. And like I said, we got to realize Foster's just coming off his knee surgery and he's a little bit of a step behind. But I like how that line's going well. And my fourth line's fantastic. It's just things that, if they're getting chances, they're doing a lot of things right. It's just a matter of time before it's going to get in. And like tonight, we got Savvy got his goal tonight in empty net, but hopefully that's the thing that sparks that line and gets them going. And like I said, we still have a lot of zeros on the board from a lot of us. And like I said, when you're getting looks, You're making right decisions. Eventually he's going to get in the net, and it's just a matter of time.
And you mentioned Jackson Whistle on the bench tonight for the first time. You'll be hoping, I imagine, to get him into a game pretty soon. Do you know how far off he is from maybe being able to make that start?
Well, we got to look down the road. We want to make sure we get into that second round of the Challenge Cup first, and then hopefully we can get him in, spot him in where a game, every game matters, but a game, if we win or lose, as long as we get into that second round, and I'm going to push him really hard this week and make sure his conditioning's up before he gets a start. But all in all, he does look in practice, but people got to realize he hasn't played in 6 months, and I don't want to throw him right in right away, especially tomorrow, traveling all day. So hopefully next weekend we'll go from there and see how it is. I just want to make sure he's 100% in condition before we put him in there.
Of course, that and all post-game interviews you can get on soundcloud.com/AVFTB. And we also chatted with Michael Forney. And Aaron, he's playing brilliantly at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, the two goals he got here were just pure sniper's goals. Out in front and just fired, a really well-placed shot. The second one, the release was so quick on the feed from, I think, on the second one, was it Chris Higgins maybe or Blair Riley? I can't remember. Yeah, the feed out and the quick release of the shot meant really that Fullerton had no chance. And I think, he looks like scoring pretty much every shift. And I think I mentioned it in the interview with the coach, and even when I was speaking to Mike Forney himself. I mean, obviously last year, him and Chris Higgins played quite a lot together, other than maybe whenever Higgins was injured. But I think Blair Riley's adding a massive part to that line. You know, he's a big body and he's able to get in, and he's just freeing up that little bit of space for Higgins to do his work and to give Forney the space to get the shots as well.
If I may be so bold,
you may be so bold
to snipe in a la Michael Forney. And come, I know we've got the fan agenda later, but this would be a good place to bring in a question from David_Purvis at David Purvis. This season, have we finally been Michael Forney we thought we'd be getting last season but didn't get? I think that's a bit harsh of a question because he didn't get 40 goals, but he was well into 20 goals at least and similar amount of assists. What do we think? Has Forney started the season like the guy we thought was coming from Sheffield?
Looking at watching the two games back from the weekend, you can see Michael Forney playing with a hell of a lot of confidence. Some of the, maybe not every shot was coming off, but you could see some of his stick work and some of the shots that he was trying and some of the snipes that he was trying were different to what we were seeing last season when he was maybe trying to get himself into the game. And he was working really hard to get himself into the game last year. But in these opening games, we're seeing the Michael Forney that we saw maybe towards the middle of the season when he was with the Sheffield Steelers, when he was with Fredder and Wild, a guy who knows where the back of the net is. And the two goals against the Edinburgh Capitals are that he's just sitting there ready for them. And as soon as the puck was on the end on his tape, they were hitting the back of the net. So long may that continue. I think that, last season there were obviously reasons, and like I say, you could see the amount of work he was trying to get to put in to try to get that sort of form back. But from the opening stanzas of this season, it looks like we've got just a goal scorer that we need.
Aaron, I'll come to you on that. Is there an element there of, first season's always difficult coming to a big club from one of the smaller teams, and then obviously, you settle yourself in. He's more comfortable now, as Paddy's mentioned there, about confidence. All these things add up to a player being in the right place to score goals.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you say, there were times last year where he went through little runs of showing this, but I think part of the problem, he didn't have a settled line a lot of the time. He was chopping and changing. He played a game on defence at one point as well, So there were definitely reasons last year, I think, where he maybe didn't get as many as he had in Sheffield. But it looks like, this line has been put together from pre-season. They've obviously trained together. They've played pre-season together. They've played the first few games together. And they look like the chemistry's there. You look at some of the, don't like to maybe off ice, he was married during the summer. Maybe there's a good example of, the positivity of marriage here for people out there.
Well, listen, the highlights from that game are available for Belfast Giants TV on the Belfast Giants website. And the weekend was rounded off with a trip to the Dundee Ice Arena to face the Stars. The Giants ended up with a 5-3 victory. goals coming from an absolute bullet from Derek Walser in the first period. And that period is rounded off with another lovely goal from that man who is on fire at the moment. Another guy, other than Michael Forney, David Rutherford. Pullen pulled one back for Felix Pullen, pulled one back for the Dundee Stars before Chris Higgins with a lovely, patiently worked goal to put the Giants 3-1 up. Keel Tanaka, who's been playing really well for the Dundee Stars, got another one back to make it 3-2. And former Manchester Storm, now at the Dundee Stars, Vinny Scarsella, levelled things up to end the second. But it was Blair Riley who would play the hero with a game-winning goal in the dying embers of the game, and then an empty netter just to round it off and make it 5-3. Davey, we'll talk to Jonathan Boxall in a while. One of the things I asked him, I'll ask you, is the fact that, is this a good example of a 60-minute game? The Giants being able to have that stamina and that drive to play a full 60-minute game.
Yeah, and I think we're forced into it by a very good Dundee Stars team. You know, that they never went away, even when we're, you know, 3-1 up, they came back, they kept going. Tanaka gets the goal, Scarsella gets the goal, to back into it. And going into the third period, you know, we've got to do all the hard work again that would put ourselves in that lead, in that strong position. And we hadn't so much given away, you know, we'd given a goal away on the power play and would let them back into it as such. But you know, I thought the Giants can't play for most of the game. You know, I thought we're dominant in possession. A bit like Aaron was saying there on Saturday night, you know, we dominated possession without maybe putting the score as you know, as high as the possession maybe dictated it should have been. Very, very good goaltending and fouling there. You know, I spoke to Colin Seals earlier on there about how do you solve the issue of beating the guys that athleticism. There was a shot in, I think it was midway through the second period, Saviano's fed sheds in the slot, got a shot away. It's a really good save. No rebound from him, but I paused the video when I was watching the game back. When the puck's on Shed's stick, he's about 10, 12 feet from goal. There's literally nothing to shoot at. Maybe two slight gaps at the high to get a hot pass and get it high in a split second.
Yeah.
You know, he just doesn't give you any shooting opportunity. So was that Shelsey, you know, how do you go about solving that? And he's talking about, you know, you have to get traffic in front, even if it's like a fly screen where it's just skating across the crease, as coach would say, you know, taking his eyes and just, you've got to just keep firing shots, or you do what Derek Walser does, you know, you get a bomb from the blue line. We've got, and not an element of luck, but, you know, we've got the element of luck there with Blair Riley getting, you know, we caught them on a bad line change to get the go-ahead goal with only, what, a minute and a half or so left. But you know, I think it was a really well-deserved victory. That line, again, of Rutherford, Demarais and Benny, setting the tone.
Yep.
Benny's very hard so. Work on that line. You know, Rudy and Demarais are getting a lot of applause. And I said this last week as well. Benny is doing so much. And it's not on-scene work. It's scene work. He's clearing space for those guys to do the work. And he's happy to be that unsung hero. But he does it night out. And he gives that line space to play. And, you know, don't underestimate, whenever you're talking about line chemistry, all three line mates are important there. Aaron says about Riley coming in with Higgy and Michael Forney. You know, it's important that all three on those lines click. And I thought, you know, special teams, we've got ourselves a power play goal. Okay, on the penalty kill, we've conceded, and that'll be an issue. You know, why we've given up a shorthanded goal, because they've came with pace twice. Their first two goals were, you know, fast speed down the wings, centered pass, tip in front of Murph. You know, Murphy's blameless on both of them. There's nothing he can do there. But, you know, I thought it was a really positive performance on the road. We'll line match, you know, obviously Dundee get to choose lines first now, and we were able to roll those four lines. We're a wee bit deeper than they were. And I think that we talked last week as well in the podcast, if you can match a team for work rate, which is what I was saying there at the start, you know, if you match a team from work rate, then your depth and your skill players, if they're slightly better than the other team, then you should come out on the positive side of the result.
Well, there, that's the interesting one as well. Work rate, and as I say, coming back to that, you know, 60-minute game, that fitness in the game. One of the comments from Mark Lefebvre on the Dundee Stars webcast in the second period break was the fact that he believed that, because they got that late goal at the end of the second, you know, there were two goals that Keel Tanaka and Vinny Scarsella scoring in the second period to make it 3-3. He believed, you know, his words were, they've got some old legs at the back and we're taking control of this game. Obviously highlighting the fact that he thought that our defence were, let's say, older than they are. Because they're a very young team. They're one of the youngest teams in the league. But it was that experience. And we're missing Jim Vandermeer, don't forget. But it was that experience and the fact is that we came into that third period and scored two goals to take it.
But Jim Vandermeer, of course, might not have been on the ice, but he'll have been a settling influence in the locker room. You know, they have scored with just like less than a minute left in the third period. A team without that veteran leadership, without leaders, let's not call them even veteran leaders, you know, without that leadership, we'd maybe have been a wee bit twitchy, we'd have panicked. It maybe actually came at a good time for us. Okay, boys, let's settle down here. Let's get ourselves 10 minutes of rest. Let's take a blow. We'll go back out here and we play our system and we keep going and we keep rolling our four lines and we keep getting our shots on and we keep cycling the puck when we get a chance to get in the corner and an opportunity will come. And when that opportunity came, boom, Riley's blew it into the top corner. High glove on the game. And, you know, that was trying to find a weakness in Fallon's game. Two or three goals there on Saturday or on Sunday night, high glove side. And that's something the boys will be working on in practice, I'm sure, this week, getting shots up high there, because the goalie just gives you nothing down low. He's huge and he's so athletic left to right and right to left. I'm really, really impressed by him. But, you know, we managed to get five goals past him. So, you know, all is not lost.
One last point of that game before we talk on to the big point that we found out about today. But one last point in that game, Davey, is Mike Quinnell going up against Traversa and one punch.
I'm very impressed by Mike Quinnell for the reason he did it. You know, I don't think it's an awful hit on Rudy. I think Rudy's checking back. He's dumping at the red line and, you know, he's put himself in a bit of a vulnerable position. No excuse for hitting the numbers at the same time, but, you know, I think Rudy's been lucky enough there that there's been no damage done. But Quinnell, no question about it. Whenever he skates back around, Quinnell taps him in the shin pads and says, not having any ad, gloves off. One quick dig in the bake and it's all over. But that endears you to your teammates as well. You know, Boxy did it earlier in the season against the Clan, not earlier in the season, in the exhibition games, preseason. Yeah. You know, I think hit on Kiefer maybe. You're not doing that to my captain. Bang, we get in. This team seems to have a bit of a really strong bond. 20th of September, we're recording this on, and we're talking about a team that is really, really tight here. Two examples already in the first sort of 6 weeks that they've been together of they're not going to be pushed about. And this is two guys that are not in there to do that and would not be expected to do it, that have been the two that have stood up. So it bodes really well. I really like what I've seen with Quinnell so far. Spoke, hate using the term, we spoke last week, but we did because that was the first weekend that we got to see him. His game at home at the SSE and then his game in Coventry. He does the simple things well. Really, really like the way he started. Gets the pass, gets it out of the zone, goes and leads the rush when he needs to, but he's a steady, steady influence back there. He's calm and he's only his second year pro. You know, so there's good things to come from Mike Quinnell. We said a few weeks ago, let's give him 10 games before we really assess him. But, you know, four games in, he's ticking a lot of boxes.
If you want to see the highlights of that game, the Dundee Stars TV have the highlights, quite a comprehensive highlights package. I think it's about 15 minutes, but you can get that on the Dundee.
18 and a half
minutes, fair enough. You can get that on the Dundee Stars website. That, of course, was also the 1,000th game for the Belfast Giants, and great to have a 1,000 win. Just one little point is, did any of you see Jackson Whistle's tweet?
Yeah, with his dad as the first game and him for the 1,000th.
Yes, he's now obviously in the lineup now as the backup netminder, Stephen Murphy. I thought it was a nice little thing with his dad, Dave Whistle, being the coach in the first game and Jackson Whistle being on the bench for the 1,000th. Nice little touch. But one of the things I want to talk about, Dops are back and our own Derek Walser is involved. The Dundee Stars have seen fit to cite Derek Walser for a check to the head. The check took place in the first period, I believe, to Switzer. If you're on our Twitter page at AVFTV, you'll be able to see a video of it. We did ask you to join in a Twitter poll. I'll get those results up in a second. But before I do, we're going to talk to Mark Lefebvre later in the show with regards to the game we're going to play at the SSE Arena. Davey spoke to him about that. But Davey also brought up the sighting of Dops.
Before we look forward to Saturday, let's talk about the elephant in the room, Dops. You've put a tape in showing, you know, Derek Walser's head on Switzer. You obviously feel it must be suspension worthy to put it in. You've seen the debate on Twitter today. Do you expect to see Walser in the lineup come Saturday night?
That's something to Dops. You never know these things. You know, with the way the review system is, you just take a chance on it. You know, I've said in my interview the other night after the game, Walser's the best defenseman in the league. And you know, if there's an opportunity and he's not getting him in the lineup, you know, we got to take advantage of that. And whether he's in the lineup or not doesn't really matter to us. You know, but we saw a little bit of a loophole there to try and get something in there. And at the end of the day, I'll commit to Dobbs and we'll see what happens.
Well, as you can hear, quite an interesting point from Mark Lefebvre. We did ask on our at AVFTB Twitter site that there was no call from Steve Byrne on the night and what your assessment was. Three options being play on, check to the head, or other penalty. Overwhelmingly, most people of the 143 votes that we got, 75% said play on, 17% check to the head, and 8% thought it might have been another penalty. Some people saying elbow, some people saying whatever. However, Davey, we can't ignore that comment from Mark Lefebvre that it's not really a case of player safety.
It's something that I've, you know, been banging on about for a couple of seasons now with regard to Dobbs, that I've always had a strong belief that a lot of the claims that are put in are nothing to do with player safety. It's about weakening your opposition. And, you know, credit to him for saying, honestly, that that's, you know, Walser's a danger to them and they're flying a kite, really. They're putting it in the Dobbs in the hope that he'll maybe pick up a game for it. And I would imagine if we weren't the Dundee Stars opposition this weekend, that may well have not gone in. You know, I think it's a dangerous play. I personally don't think it's a bad hit. In fact, I think it's a good hit, if you know what I mean. I think Walser's gone shoulder to shoulder. His hands are low. Okay. It's a high impact play with two players going at speed. There's always going to be momentum carries it round. Walser hasn't thrown an elbow. He's gone in low. The momentum has carried, Switzer around, and There's slight contact of the face with the glove, that Simon Kirkle will review that and give a ban. But that's the side, kind of side issue to it. I'm sure you could go through the game tape and find two or three incidents that are probably worse in the game. We talked slightly earlier there about the hit on Davy Rutherford, DJR91. And, you know, okay, I don't think there's any malice in it, but it's a bad hit. The numbers are visible and he puts him into the boards. Now, Giants haven't cited that there were game tape issues and stuff that are going on. But, you know, I just don't think it's within the spirit of the game I think Dobbs should be a purely player safety aspect. This brings up whether clubs should be allowed to cite players or whether games should be watched back by a panel on a Monday and a Tuesday and decisions made if they believe referees have missed a danger to a player. This isn't the case for me. You know, Mark Lefebvre said it himself. It was an exercise to try and weaken the opposition. Nothing more, nothing less.
It baffles, you know, the Dobbs system we spoke about many years ago when it first came in, Davey, hashtag vote Davey, and when we had the big debate about it and the fact that it had to be done properly, it had to be developed properly, it had to be tariffs, it had to be. And now we're in a situation where, as you say, it's not about player safety. It's about weakening the opposition. And that's really not acceptable. It's a loophole. Fair play to Mark Lefebvre. He actually calls it that. He says it is a loophole. And I agree with you. If we weren't playing the Dundee Stars this weekend, I really don't think that this sighting would go. As it happens, I agree with you as well. I think it's actually a pretty good hit. I think they're just taking a chance and hoping that maybe something comes up. And let's be fair, it wouldn't be the first time that everybody looked at it. We've had 75% of the people that looked at it on the video that we provided. They've come back to say play on. But that's not to say that something wouldn't be found to mean that Derek Walser would be suspended. They did suspend Daryl Lloyd based on a fictional slew foot. So we see what happens coming into this weekend. We see what happens coming into the game against the Dundee Stars. Do we lose our number one defensive, or one of our top defensive players, based on the fact that the Dundee Stars are taking a chance? You say they're flying a kite. It's ridiculous, mate.
Well, it's the systems there, like all systems, they're there to be abused until loopholes are tied up. I'm sure there's other things going on within the league away from Dobbs, you know, regarding different how players are signed or what players are signed. And, you know, teams will be striving all the time to find that little 1 or 2%, whatever they can find, to strengthen themselves, to weaken the opposition. And this is no slight on Dundee Stars, Mark Lefebvre, whatever. The system is there and that's what they're doing, yeah. You know. It's unfortunate, and we have said since the big debate, as you say, hashtag vote Davy, you know, since its inception, I just believe it could be done so much better. And this is something that we have been banging on about for a couple of years. I've always believed, and don't want to go back over old ground, that teams are worried about player safety. Sorry, that's not the right word. In these kinds of instances where there's citations, I don't believe it's always about player safety. I've always firmly believed that it's about weakening the opposition, and the proof of the pudding is now in the eating.
And through the, through the wonders of modern technology, we actually do know that, well, we said that on the night, Steve Brown, the referee, didn't give any penalty to Derek Walser, and the Dops have now assessed Derek Walser a 5+ game. Davey, all jam, no ban.
I think this is the danger of re-refereeing games. For me, absolutely disagree.
It's interesting, Aaron, as well, because, you know, Derek Walser scored the very first goal in that game. He was after this hit, and he was also man of the match in this game, involved quite a bit in that victory in Dundee. No doubt, even with this, you know, Mark Lefebvre is looking at, and maybe looking at referee Steve Brown. Is there any recompense that comes back to the referee to say it's something big that you missed?
I hope they'll use it as a learning tool for him as well. You know, it's good to see all these various referees have got this year coming into the league as well. But I get your point, but it goes back to what Davey says there about re-refereeing a game. You know, you could totally change the result of a lot of games if you go back and look over them, change things. I guess my only worry, I can't remember, does the league still have a totting up of game penalties? So, you know, if Walser gets another game or two, does he end up with a ban based on that? I'm not sure if that rule is still in place, is it?
I'm not sure at all.
I don't know. I know for one thing, Mark Lefebvre would be one of the proponents for the four-man system being in place. You know, and that just gives that extra pair of eyes. Like I've said, I don't believe the referee has missed it in this case. And, you know, when you've got 10 different angles, or, you know, you've got still photographs, you've got angles, you've got slow-mos, and you've the opportunity to watch it 10 times, perhaps, you know, Simon Kirkham can say, you know, on the 10th go, yeah, there's maybe a bit of contact with the right hand or the face or whatever, and call it. But at full speed, three officials on the ice all think, nope, nothing wrong with it.
Play on.
One or two players, as is the norm of hockey all around the world. Now, 10 years ago, that wouldn't have drawn a scrum. Nope. It wouldn't have. And now there's this straight thing in there. Anything, a player is hit hard now in hockey, everybody has to, you know, go and pair up. It's just, for me, it's a good, clean, honest hit. Derek Walser hasn't gone to try and injure that player in any way. If anything, he tries to help him set him down on the ice. You know, he's flipped him, and he's mitigating that he doesn't want the player to come down hard. And it's a nonsense call for me, but it is what it is. You have to just take that in the chin and move on.
Absolutely. Interview time. And I got a chance earlier on to chat with Mr. Jonathan Boxall. Delighted to be joined by Jonathan Boxall. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Not too bad. You guys have got off to a hell of a start. Some great wins, 2 4-point weekends back-to-back. What's the atmosphere like in the room?
Yeah, we're all very excited, and you know, we understand the potential we have as a team to do good things this year. So we're all enjoying each other's company, and we've got a great group of guys. I think it's Thoughts and Wally have obviously put a lot of effort into the recruitment this year of who they want on the team. So it's all good so far.
And what about yourself? You're gaming, you're playing out loud. How are things gelling for yourself?
Yeah, good, thank you. Sorry, Matt Nixon just decided to make an appearance and trying to interrupt the flow. But it's good. It's fun playing with Kiefer, and I haven't played with Toey in quite a few years. And he's obviously had a great career in British hockey over the years. So it's, you know, two fun guys to play with. And we're enjoying each other's chemistry on the ice and everything we bring to the team, and the most important thing is we're winning at the moment, so that's great.
Not bad for a man who retired from the game.
Yeah, no, it was. I saw Toey when he was in Guildford before my first year last year in Belfast. Mm-hmm. He told me how much of a great time I'd have here, and how much he enjoyed his time in Belfast. And I always kind of kept in touch with him a little bit because I got a couple other friends that play on Guildford. And when I saw he retired this summer, I know it was a bit of a loss to the game because he's obviously been a great ambassador for British hockey for quite a few number number of years now, but to see that he's back and he's obviously done a great job since he's been back. So yeah, it's not bad for a guy who's retired.
What do you think the differences are now when you look at the dressing room around you this year compared to last year? Do you think there's more leaders in there, or what are the main differences between the two teams?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would, first of all, I think it's important to say that we did have a really good, definitely had a good room last year as well. Yeah. We had a lot of good character guys, and that wasn't an issue whatsoever. But this year, I know we've got different kinds of leaders. We've got guys that don't have to speak up all the time and be the loudest guy in the room, but they kind of let their play do the talk. And even guys, just the way they carry themselves and being a pro every day. We've had a couple of guys who really come in and just the natural, you know, just the way they go about their everyday business has been very impressive. And it's magnetic when you get guys that come in there and do that and behave in that way. It sets a precedent. It sets a standard for everyone else in the room. So, there's a couple of guys like Savvy and, Foster and obviously Jim. So, you know, well-respected guys, but there's quite a few other guys that have come in this year who have, taken on the leadership roles. I think, Desi's obviously been great so far, and he's definitely understanding that he wants to win this year, and he's really stepped up on his play on the ice, but also his presence in the room has been noted. So it's great when you have guys that come in and behave in that way.
One of the things that Derek Walsh, we've heard him say over the last couple of weeks, that he wants to have you guys as the fittest, most athletic team in the league and try to get that full 60 minutes. I guess we saw in Dundee at the weekend there exactly what being a full 60-minute team can achieve.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was great to see Blair get his first two goals there. And that's the big thing, is we've got depth through the lineup. But yeah, just going back to what you're saying in regards to fitness, it's all about accountability. And the other thing is, there's a lot of other teams in the league which are investing in this stuff. So if you want to win the league and be competitive, you kind of expect to do these things now. And the organization's obviously implemented, and they've reinvested and realized that they want to win. And they've proven that through us to players this year, whether it be, certain nutritional things that they provide after games, or, the heart rate monitors, which, may seem like at first, bit of a drag, but it's a good measuring stick of where guys are fitness wise and what they're doing during games and practices, and just tracking on guys' weight before and after practice and before and after games. There's no excuses now, so there's no question marks, and it just shows that everyone who's involved in the Giants this year is here for one reason only, and it's to win. And fitness is very simple. You just put your nose down and work hard, and that's what we're doing this year, and hopefully it pays off, because so far it has.
When you look right across the league as well, we're improving. We see that other teams have really improved, but other teams have also really bulked up, got a lot more physical. Now, our team isn't lacking, like the Jim Vandermeer, Kiefer himself. We even saw Martinelli and you yourself dropping the gloves only a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I had to step up and protect the skill on my line. When you got a skillful player like Adam Keefe, you got to make sure that he gets to do what he does on the ice. But we've got solid team toughness, and we got guys that are willing to, it doesn't even have to go out there and fight every game, but just play physical, put your body on the line, block shots, and just buy in and commit. But going back to what you're saying, yeah, there's a couple of teams who've obviously decided to go with a bit more toughness this year, and guys that have proven track records that have played in the best league in the world that have obviously made a career of, intimidation. But I think most importantly, these guys that are coming over can play as well. And I'm sure they're going to want to come over here and play. But it's great exposure for the league. And it's kind of special for guys like myself to say that you played against guys that have had such storied careers. So I think it's great for the sport. It's great for fans, great for us players. It'll keep things interesting for sure.
We saw also, when players come in, you say these guys with great storied careers and great NHL careers. We witnessed over the summer that you yourself have quite a contact. Could you not, cannot draw PK Subban into the Giants at some point?
Well, yeah, no, I don't know. Maybe one day. I don't know. I'll have to see how it pans out in Nashville for him. But, it was good to see him. And, it was nice to spend some time with him when he was over in London. But, he's an old friend. I've known him for quite a while now. And he's obviously doing very well for himself, and had that blockbuster trade this summer, so I'm sure he's pretty excited to head to Nashville and get a fresh start. But he's a good guy, and he's obviously dedicated a lot over the years I mean, when I knew him when he was a lot younger, he was the skill and the ability he has certainly didn't come naturally to him. It was a lot of hard work and dedication, and he's reaping the rewards of it. If you look at his salary, I think he's well deserved to get the money that he does. So good on him, and yeah, it was nice to see him.
Hopefully, his career will peak at the Giants at some point soon. What about this? What about this weekend? We've got the Dundee Stars coming in, of course, the Brayhead Clan up against our old friend Mr. Peacock. What are you expecting from the Giants this weekend? How's preparation going on?
Yeah, it's good so far. We had a more of a sort of skills day today because we had a long travel day back from Scotland on Monday. We got a good sweat and worked on some things, that some drills that we might normally not do. But that's important to work on different aspects of the game. But no, it's going to be a good test for us. Dundee, I think, proved everyone that they you know, that's a team that you have to take seriously, and they've got a very quick, speedy team, and they're coached very well. And they're going to be a good test for us. And I think they're the youngest team in the league by quite some distance. So you've got a lot of guys who are very motivated to succeed and further their careers, and they want to win. So, yeah, they're going to be a good test, not only for us, but for everyone this year. And in regards to Brayhead, I know they've obviously had a bit of a tough start to the season, but, you know, that's when guys, when they're backed into a corner, really come out and play with fire. So hopefully we'll be ready for them on Sunday. And I know that they'll be ready to go, so it's always a good test for us going over to Glasgow and playing against them. And I'm sure Peaks will be excited again to play against his old team. He's a good guy, and I'm sure everyone involved in the organisation wishes him well. But he's obviously on the other side of the rink now, so we've got to do everything we can to win that game. But I'm sure he will be prepared as we will be.
Well, hopefully we see another 4-point weekend as we've seen for the past couple. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Yeah, no, it'd be nice if we can keep this thing rolling. But yeah, anytime, and thanks for your support.
Thanks again to Jonathan Boxall. Let's have a quick look around the league, gentlemen. Brian McGrattan at the Nottingham Panthers is due to arrive. And surprise, surprise, he's going to have his debut on Saturday against who else but the Sheffield Steelers. Bit of a thing earlier on in the week, Aaron, about whether, you know, the Panthers said they put the paperwork in as quick as they possibly could, maybe even quicker, and that they had their fingers crossed that the paperwork would come back. It looks like it's come back. It looks like McGrattan is in, and he makes his debut in, well, a small matter of the Panthers-Steelers game at the NIC.
Yeah, so I mean, he comes in to make your debut for a team and then the biggest rivalry in world hockey. You know, I'd be interested to see how he gets on. You know, I think back to Cam Janssen last year, and I would say that he certainly, in a way, exceeded the expectations of myself and of a lot of people. You know, he came in, and although he didn't necessarily put up many points, wasn't really what we were expecting from him, I suppose. He had a massive impact on a lot of games against ourselves over there. And McGrattan, you know, last year, he's very a similar mold. You know, he's played, over 300 NHL games, only 27 points. But last year, you know, in the AHL, he managed 9 goals in his season in San Diego. Cam Janssen, in his time, I think, never managed in his professional career, never managed more than, I think, well, 4 last year was his highest. So it'll be interesting to see if McGrattan can actually bring maybe a little bit more than what Janssen brought. On the other side of that, you know, I think part of the reason he's coming here, there's a pretty famous video out there of a McGrattan fight in the AHL last year where he got knocked out cold in a fight. So maybe he won't be that keen to indulge in that side of things.
Of course, Davey, you know, he's coming in after the Nottingham Panthers got up, well, in a game, a 7-5 game, they got beat by the Sheffield Steelers just at the last weekend. What do you think they're going to expect in this one coming up?
Well, a bit more of the same. You know, Sheffield are very stacked with offensive talent, and obviously two good teams going forward, and both defences forgot to turn up on the night. You know, 7-5, 12 goals, thriller, big crowd in, and these games always generate a lot of interest. There'll be a big crowd in, and it's the kind of game you really hope to beat the head off each other in. just from a purely point of view, you know, that's the kind of game you want attrition, you want players not to be injured, but players that to pick up wee niggles and, you know, that sort of thing. You want your opposition to be weak when you're playing them. We're going to have all these teams coming up in the next lot of weeks whenever the Elite League action gets going for real, you know, Challenge Cup group stages are out of the way. So, you know, you want a bit of attrition on your opposition. So, you know, getting the Panthers and Steelers playing each other early season does us no harm at all.
Let's pick up a couple of game tapes, Davey, and start throwing a few DOPS citations in.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you're actually allowed to cite someone for a game you're not involved in, but I'm sure there's probably a loophole that you're allowed.
We can start a Just Giving page to pay the fees as well.
In other news of players coming in or not coming in, as it is at the Fife Flyers, they were hoping that Kyle Follmer would be coming, especially for this weekend's games against their nearest and dearest in Edinburgh. But following a post on social media earlier today and by the local press, there was a statement that Kyle Follmer would not be rejoining the Flyers. The Flyers themselves have said that they confirmed that they were currently speaking with Follmer and his agent regarding his visa application. They're hoping to have another update, but they can't confirm whether he will be in or not. That's going to be a bit of a drawn-out saga for the Fife Flyers. Coming back to results from the weekend, and it was a big weekend for the Manchester Storm, who seem to be on a bit of a run at the minute. A 3-1 win in Altrincham over Coventry, and a 2-1 win away in the Cup to the Clan, Davey. Away in the league to the Clan. That's not bad. The Omar Pasha's side have started very, very well.
They've came in, you know, we've spoke to Neil, the coach Russell, you know, on our little WhatsApp groups or whatever, and, you know, saying a lot of the guys have came in shape, ready to go. They get it. They get what he's trying to do there, what Pasha's sold them. You know they don't have the most salubrious of surroundings there in the Drizzle Dome, but all the players knew what they were signing up to. They knew that when they came to Altrincham, they were going to have to make that, you know, their fortress, if you like, and they're taking a bit of their form on the road as well. One win, and you know, fair play to them there. They've gone up there, they've done a number on Finnerty, and things look quite good for Manchester. They might not just be the whipping boys that, you know, that many expected them to be.
I think this was going to be one of the most entertaining leagues, top to bottom. Everybody seems to be getting stronger. Every team seems to be putting out a good side, and everybody seems to be beating everybody. Time will tell. Anyway, let's batter ahead because we've got a fair few things to get on with yet. The Fan Agenda, in association with our good friends at Belfast Giants TV. Davey, you got anything out there?
We've got a few Fan Agenda questions, as always. Thanks very much. We'll start with WeePhil56, our good friend Philip Armstrong. And this is a tough enough one, actually, because of the sheer volume of players that play for the club, nearly 200. And we'll start with you, Aaron. Since we have just had our 1,000th game, who is each of your favourite players to have played for the Giants, and who is your least favourite?
Good question. Favourite, probably, I always end up, I think, when I get asked this over the years, coming to Jason Ruff, guy who could do it all, you know, score, assist, he league on his show, you know, on his own shoulders. And then there's that infamous picture of him over Darren Hurley, you know, shouting at him and stuff, which is brilliant. Yeah, which is one of the best sort of sport photos you could probably ever see. Mm. Least favourite is a bit harder to pick, but I'm going to go with Brad Kenny from that same season that I just mentioned, actually. A guy who, if you look at the pure, you know, the pure points and stuff, you think, eh, not bad. And I think before he came, he was, you know, a point machine in the EPL, but he flattered to deceive, I think it's fair to say.
And Patrick, yourself?
Well, I think it'll come as no surprise. My favourite player came in the 2002-2003 mm-hmm. season, about midway through just around Christmas time. And was one of the key reasons that we ended up winning the playoffs. He also came back and coached the team to a number of trophies and now resides in the back office, and that's Mr. Steve Thornton. Least favourite player, Pierre-Luc Faubert. I am sure at one point I saw somebody fart in the crowd and he fell over. I thought he was absolutely rubbish. What about yourself, Davey?
I'm with Aaron. Anyone who says that Jason Ruff was not the greatest player to ever put on the Teal jersey is just plain wrong. So that's, you know, Thornton's brilliance. What I loved about Thornton's skating ability, your skater, that man, played with a tiny little stick, you know, almost a kid's stick because he had such a low centre of gravity. Great player for the club and all, but for me, Jason Ruff, head and shoulders above anyone that's ever played for him. And I'll be for least favourite player. I'm going to go back to the 2nd of October 2010 when caught tenuous, you know, the Giants select player. you're going to put somebody in a Giants shirt. I'm going to go for Jade Galbraith.
Very good. Oh, sir.
Thanks, Phil. We'll go on to Stephen Murray. Might need to give you a bit of assistance on this one, boys, because I've got the stats in front of me here. Are the Giants suffering in the face-offs compared to last season without Beecher? Beech obviously being close to 70% over the course of the season. If you put Beech's stats alongside NHL stats of players that took a number of face-offs, and it was into like maybe close to 700 face-offs across the season, he was better than anyone that played in the NHL last season. So there's just something to bear in mind.
Well, in which case, then, if you put our stats up against it, are we suffering? I don't think suffering is the term to use. Obviously, without a player like Beech, who has such outstanding statistics, and you know, if getting you the pucks to the main part of the game, especially when it comes to the how many face-offs do you see in a game, Davey, on average? You know, you've got the stats.
Well, on average, we'll say on against the Caps, it was less than 50, but it's just, you know, so you can average that out, 50, 60. A game, roughly.
Yeah, so if in those cases that you've got a guy who 70-80% of the time is going to get you the puck, then he's invaluable. So once he goes, are we going to suffer? Well, yes, if suffer is the right word, but I think the likes of Foster and Desi and Fournier are doing well enough. You've got the stats. I'm sure it's well over 50%.
Yeah, I think we spoke in last week's show about face-offs, actually, funny enough, and without giving too, you know, accurate a stat out, I said that more often than not we'd be over 50% in a game. You know, you Foster the weekend there against Dundee's one. I've got no concern about, you know, we're starting with the puck more often than not, and we're a puck possession team. That one of the things that impressed me in the game against Dundee was how we carried the play, and that comes from having initial puck possession, you know, and that goes through the four lines. Look at our centers here, you know, James Demarais taking face offs, Mike Forney, Alex Foster, Johnny Boxall. We've got quality in those four positions. And when as is the linesman's want, they seem to kick people out willy-nilly. You have people like Davey Rutherford, Brandon Benedict, you know, Blair Riley, Toey Shieldsy, Saviano, all coming in and doing their share. I've no concerns over us in the face-off circle. And that's with Mark Garside standing on D, perhaps one of the premium face-off men in the league. Absolutely. Doesn't take them anymore, you know. So I think we can let's have another quick look down the list here. I'll let you answer this. Oh, here's one here from Ryan Donaldson, RJ Dawn 77. I suppose this game's more often than not. £19 to get into Dundee on Sunday night. I saw this one. Does the on-ice product in this league justify that cost? Does it price out new fans?
I guess I'll take that one first. I would say it's pretty close to the very top end there. It's hard to say. I mean, if you say to someone who's never been to a game before, you know, maybe a family or whatever, I know obviously you've got your family tickets and whatever, but it's going to cost them, say, I know, 50, 60 quid for a night out. I think you are pushing, you're pushing the boundary there a little bit, I think. In comparison to other sports, I guess, I mean, as you guys know, I would bear in mind league games and whatever, they're priced at £10, which I think is a pretty reasonable price for that. So, you know, that's obviously not a top league by any means, whereas, you know, the Elite League is the top league in these islands. It's only, you know, is it worth double the price? Probably maybe not quite, but in Belfast, if you're paying 15, I think it's 15, 16 pound, I think that's probably around about right.
Well, you consider Aaron there too. The upgrade for that extra fiver and facilities, the ability to get a beer to your seat, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as I say, the main thing about it is I think it's the top league, and you know, I actually think it's you know, we'll look around Europe. I mean, Germany, to get a seat in an arena in Germany is around about 35, 40 euro for a centre ice seat in Berlin.
Yeah, I can't remember. Well,
do you want to have a blast, Paddy, or will I go on the next one?
Probably no, just what came into my head when I read it as well. I don't mean to sound flippant. I don't mean to show my age, but do you remember the song, or the better the tune that went, Baz Luhrmann's Ladies and Gentlemen of the Class of 1999?
Yes.
You know, Wear Sunscreen.
Wear Sunscreen.
That one? Well, yes. Remember the line in that, prices will rise, politicians will philander, and you too will get old. You know, it as time goes on, we're a four-line hockey now. Times are different. We're in a world of austerity, and unfortunately, prices are going to get up.
I don't think the prices in Belfast, in particular, have actually risen that much. If I remember right back to the first couple of seasons, I think at that point, if you recall, there were the two price bands, wasn't there? There was centre ice tickets, which I think at that point were £17.50.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the ISL was a higher standard, and there were much higher costs involved, and so on. But I actually think the prices, we've done pretty well to keep the prices in and around what they are for as long as we have.
Well,
fire on, and I'm going to slightly alter Stevie Thompson, BFG14's question, because we kind of answered somebody else's, so I'll put a slight slant on it. And I'll just come to one each. 1,000 games and counting, so who's been, but I'll not say who's been, I'll say, what's been your best game, Patrick?
Playoff final 2003.
And your worst game?
Probably the London game.
9-3.
Yeah, the 9-3, where, you know, we went into a new season, hope, expectation, all that kind of thing, and it certainly brought us back down to earth.
it worked out all right that season. But
at the time, it was pretty rough.
Black Sunday, of course, have to be up there in the...
I forgot what Black Sunday is. It's gone. Do you know, actually, another one just to pick, actually, that it's slightly different, and I think it was, remember the Manchester Storm final game?
For obviously slightly
different reasons, but just to remember the atmosphere in the arena was very sort of very subdued and strange that night.
That was a bad season league-wide The whole thing was going down the Swanee at that point. You knew this was going to happen, but yeah, I understand that. What about yourself, David?
I'll answer the last one, which was the best impact. And I suppose this comes because today, 15 years ago today, a guy made a huge impact on the club. Sean Barron stepped off a plane, scored two goals in a man-on-a-match performance and a win against the Nottingham Panthers. And you only went on to make up one-third of that line with
Rough and Rael. Rough Rael Barron were superb.
The best line potentially that's ever been put together in Belfast. You know,
I'd say so.
Ran roughshod over many an opposition, but I'd say best one has made this club, bar Jason Rushton on his first night. we Sean Burns, you know, absolute class act. And, you know, they say never come back, but back in Belfast, he did his thing. And unfortunately, he didn't stay as long a second time. I think that's one thing that maybe cost Stewie his job, that Burns never stayed around the second time. But no. One of those things. And thank you all for your fan agenda questions again this week. And look forward to hearing and interacting with you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks to everybody. Keep them coming at AVFTB. Let's have a look ahead to this weekend, gents. We have another game against the Dundee Stars Saturday at 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena. Another Challenge Cup game. Now, we mentioned it earlier on. We had the win over the Stars last week and, of course, the 5-3-1 over in the DIA. And this week, Davey had a chance to talk with Mark Lefebvre.
Joined tonight by Stars head coach Mark Lefebvre. And, coach, let's start by looking back at Sunday. As is the norm over the last couple of seasons between these two teams, a bit of a high-scoring affair, and with the Giants coming out on top this time, of course. But think that's a fair reflection of the game, or do you think you deserve something out of the game?
Well, I thought we deserved something out of it. You know, they're a very good hockey club. And I think it was a good learning lesson for us to play 60 minutes against those kind of type of teams. You know, they're like us. You know, a lot of offense, a lot of skill, good goaltending, a little bit of everything. And we're both pretty wide open styles of play. But I thought we deserved something. But like I said, it was a good lesson learned for us. They had enough firepower there that it was going to hurt you. And we had a terrible turnover at their blue line late in the game, and it cost us.
Special teams were a kind of a factor in the night. There was a couple of power play goals, a shorty. There was a couple of goals that were scored either way just after power play as it expired. You know, is that a sign of that both teams are still coming out of the pre-season mode, that things need fine-tuned in the penalty kill, the power plays?
Well, I think our power play has been pretty good for the most part. Looking at today, I think we're right now ranked number one in the Challenge Cup groups of the power play. So I'm pretty happy with our power play. I'm pretty sure Derek's pretty happy with his, especially that he scored in the power play the other night. We scored a couple shorthanded goals as well in the Challenge Cup. But, you know, you're always going to be tweaking things, whether it's, you know, game 3, game 4, game 50, or game 60. You're always going to try and improve things in your power play. You're never going to be satisfied. And you're never going to be satisfied with your talent stuff. So you're always going to be fine-tuning things all the time. But, we've both had enough games, I think, between the two teams to try and sort some things out and get some chemistry going and get some stuff systematically in place. So, like I said, you're never going to be satisfied, but I'm content with ours anyway.
Let's move on. Have a word for your goalie. That's the first time I've got to see him in 60 minutes of action. You know, we've seen highlights from the first couple of games, but he's got size, he's athletic, he's going to be the difference maker for you this season.
I think so. I think that's, he's a big time goalie. Look at his CV, and he's still relatively young for a goalie. 31, still in his prime. And he's a big goalie. You look at most goalies around the world now have success. They're big guys now. You know, they're in that 6'2", 6'3", 6'4" range. And I think that's something we were missing last year, some consistency in goal. He's still getting his feet wet. I mean, the last 3-4 years he's been playing in Europe, he's had a month long training camp starting from the beginning of August. This year we didn't start until the end of August. So he's got a few more weeks to adjust here, but he's getting quickly acclimated with the league and everything and the pace of play.
Before we look forward to Saturday, let's talk about the elephant in the room, Dops. You've put a tape in showing, you know, Derek Walters' head on Switzer. You obviously feel it must be suspension worthy to put it in. You've seen the debate on Twitter today. Do you expect to see Walser in the lineup come Saturday night?
That's a method doc. You never know these things. The way the review system is, you just take a chance on it. I've said in my interview the other night after the game, Walser's the best defense in the league. And, you know, if there's an opportunity to maybe not get him in the lineup, you know, we got to take advantage of that. And whether he's in the lineup or not doesn't really matter to us. But we saw a little bit of a loophole there to try and get something in there. At the end of the day, it's coming to Dobbs and we'll see what happens.
Fair enough. Well, then let's look forward to Saturday. New game, Challenge Cup game. What do you do differently, if anything, being on the road versus being at home?
Well, it's a little bit different. I mean, for us, it's the first time in the ferry to a game for a lot of our guys. So that's going to be a little bit different. Obviously, the bigger rink. Bigger atmosphere, I think, obviously, their crowds and everything. And the ice conditions. You know, the one thing the Odyssey has a problem with is the ice quite a bit. And that's, you know, due to a lot of concerts and everything going on. So, I don't know if that plays in our favor or not. Obviously, we got a real fast field team that gives teams trouble. So, obviously, it'll be a bit of a different game plan. Obviously, we'll make adjustments here throughout the week, for how we want to play them Belfast. Obviously, you know, now we got to play for 60 minutes against those guys. They're a dangerous team. That could score any moment. The transition game is very, very good. We've got to be aware of that. So, obviously, it's a different game plan going to on the road. Obviously, we don't control any matchups, really, with the last game. But obviously, with the four-line team at Belfast and the three-line team at ourselves, we don't really get that luxury at home anyway. So, obviously, it'll be a different game plan, but we look forward to it.
Well, Coach, we'll wish you all the best. We'll talk to you after the game on Saturday night.
Perfect, thank you.
And after that, well, we've had the official view. Now let's talk to, I want to say we talked to one of the fans, I suppose he is one of the fans, but he's also one of the commentators on Dundee Stars TV and the host of the brand new Dundee Stars podcast. That is Stephen Swan. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing great, thanks. How about yourself?
Not too bad, mate, not too bad. Listen, that game on Sunday was an absolute cracker over there in the DIA, but heartbreaking for the Dundee Stars fans.
Yeah, I mean, it was a cracker. Usually the games between Belfast Giants and the Stars are crackers, but yeah, that certainly was. I honestly believe that Dundee were going to take it to overtime. And yeah, the Belfast Giants just too strong for the Stars in the end.
You guys, there's been quite a few changes this season, you know, not least in goal with regards to Joe Fallon coming in. What do you think of this team that Mark's put together?
I think it's really exciting. I think he's also improved the side on last year. I think defensively, we are a little bit more stable, and we've also got an improved attacking front line, and it's been really exciting so far.
You guys have had, like, over the last few seasons, have maybe been up and down. Of course, you had that great season where you went to the Gardner Championship and ran really well in the league overall. And then maybe, you know, fell back again. And it looks like Mark's trying to redevelop this team to be a lot stronger and keep the DIA as a bit of a fortress. And not least with quite a bit of offensive power in there. You look at Cale Tanaka and especially how he played on Sunday, and bring in somebody like Vinny Scarsella from Manchester, a proven goal scorer in this league.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I remember when Mark first came in, he said he was going to bring exciting hockey back to the fans in Dundee, and certainly has last year. The team just missed on the playoff finals weekend, and I think that would have been a great round off to that season. But yeah, this year, as you say, he's improved the front lines, and Cale Tanaka's come in and done fantastic. Also, Joey Sides, the captains, came in. And as you say, Scarsella, these guys, you've got to think when the season really kicks in, will be effective for the Stars.
What sort of identity do you think that the Dundee Stars are going to have this season?
I think the identity they'll have is, I think they'll be a really good attacking team. I suppose maybe the one flaw they'll have is that they will leak goals as well as score them, which will provide entertainment. But yeah, I think if we're able to tighten ever so slightly, I think we'll be a really good force.
And when it comes to that, let's look at Sunday's game. As you say, you know, a bit heartbreaking, but quite a bit of feistiness in there. There was obviously the fight involving our own Martinelli, and also quite a few comings together. The game coming this Saturday at the SSE Arena, it looks like it just could be a fallout from that.
Yeah, definitely. There was certainly a lot of entertainment there for the fans anyway on Sunday, and yeah, you've got to think some of that might carry over to this Saturday's game. Dundee Stars now got the Italian international Tommaso Traversa, and and his height doesn't represent his how could you put it, his fight on the ice. He certainly doesn't get messed around.
Well, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog, I suppose.
Yeah, I reckon you might see a bit of him on Saturday. And a few problems to the Giants.
What about some of the British guys in your place? I know you've got a couple of two-way players, and Chris Inglis, you know, and Ben Edmonds and all. What are the British players like now for the Dundee Stars?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's been a few changes, a lot of different players brought in. But I'll be honest with you, from the fan side, everybody's delighted with how they fit in. Chris Inglis has done a great job, and you've also brought in Cameron McGiffins came in. Craig Moore's developed his game again this year, and is looking equal to any import we've got. So Craig's looking grand. And you've also got, like you said, Ben Edmonds in there as well. And I think the good thing with Mark is he isn't scared to develop these young players and really take them under his wing. And you could start to see the effects of that even early on this season, just in the few games they've had, that they've certainly did their job.
Right across the league, Stephen, a lot of the teams, especially in the Gardner Conference with regards to yourselves, a lot of teams are sort of bulked up, and there seems to be a real step up in standard. Do you see this fight for the Gardner Conference being a great one between yourselves, Fife, Bray? Even look at the way that Manchester are playing.
Yeah, I think the Gardner Conference is brilliant. I mean, the Stars were in it until last season, and they've certainly improved the team. And we had that great result in Fife last weekend, which I know it was a Challenge Cup game, but really kind of set the stall, I think, for how good the Dundee Stars can be in the Gardner Conference. I'm expecting the Stars to challenge for that.
And you guys have started a podcast just these last couple of weeks. Tell us about that.
Yeah, exciting times, actually, yeah. The coach got together with myself and Dave Sweeten, the one of the other media team guys, and we've put together his podcast. So it's got the basic name of the Dundee Stars podcast at the moment.
Well, you're gonna have to work on that, mate.
We are. It is we will get it fixed in the weeks to come. But yeah, the plan is we'll always have Mark on discussing the week's events. He even talks a little bit of football in that as well, and we'll add to that as it goes on. Get special guests in, and we've also always got a Dundee Stars player in on that as well. So early stages of it, but we've started with quite a few things. We've now got an app, so if you just go into the Google Play Store, you will actually see the podcast app. You can download it by searching that, and an iOS app's in the making, and and whatnot. So yeah, it's been exciting.
And they'll just search for the, just if the guys want to listen into it, they just search for the Dundee Star, at this moment in time, the Dundee Stars podcast.
Exactly. At this moment in time, it's that name. You can also find it on SoundCloud, and it's well promoted through the Dundee Stars Twitter and Facebook and website as well. So yeah, check that out. It'll roughly be out every Wednesday / Thursday.
Fantastic. Well, Stephen, thanks very much for joining us.
No worries. Thank you very much to you, and have a good show.
Thanks to Mark, and thanks to Stephen. Davey, as I said, you know, with the win last weekend in the DIA over the Stars, we've got the situation with Derek Walser is going to play. Part of me actually hoped that Derek Walser would be banned, because I got the feeling that if he was banned, he might have sent the guys out to beat the living crap out of them. But what are you expecting from this game?
I know you say that with tongue-in-cheek, because Walser has said on many occasions he'll never send anyone out to do that job, you know. But as I said at the start of the interview with Mark there, that you know, these have been high-scoring games over the last seasons, and the Stars have identified, and you've seen his interview on Stars TV, that, you know, to use his own words, there's old legs at the back for the Giants there. So, you know, they came with a lot of speed down the wings. They centred a lot of pucks. They got goals from that, from Pippins in front of Murph. We have learned this week that, you know, you have to stop the supply there. It's not, there's not an awful lot a goalie can do with a puck that's fizzed across the ice. We have to win foot races. There's a few times there that we got ahead of the puck in their offensive zones, and whenever it's turned over, all of a sudden it's a 2-on-1, it's a 3-on-1, and we've been beating the foot races back into our own zone, back checking. We have to make sure we're better at that. We have to get more traffic in front of Fallon. We talked earlier tonight about what a good goaltender he is. He's big, he's athletic, he's fast across the post. You know, so we have to get traffic in front of him, butts in front of him. You know, don't let him see the puck, get shots on, get rebounds. Do what we did. The likes of Chris Higgins dangling in there, holding on the puck, being patient, getting shots away that way. We have to play our system, which has worked so well so far this season. Demarai, Rutherford, Benedict have to be that line again. Fournier's going to come up with goals. Foster, Saviano and Shields are bubbling up very nicely. They're doing a lot of good things without getting a lot of points on the board. Saviano's came up. He's been involved in a few empty net goals over the weekend. I'm running out of breath here. I'm talking so quick. But I think if we stick to our game plan, obviously we get the chance for the line matchups with having the second change at home. And Derek Walser will have been focusing on this game. We're going to look forward to Clan, but at the minute we will just 100% focused on Dundee coming in, and we'll try to be solidified place at the top of the Challenge Cup group. So it should be an exciting game for the fans, because as I said at the very start of this piece, high scoring games over the last number of seasons. I see no reason why that'll not be the case on Saturday night.
Absolutely. If you want to get down to that game, 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena. If you can't get down, Belfast Giants TV. I think their early bird is £5.99, and on the day it's £8. But yep, get down to that. I think it's going to be a feisty one, given how the game in the DIA went. And on Sunday, we travel over to face the Brayhead Clan, a team who haven't been getting it all their own way of late. They haven't won a game yet. Between now and the time to play us, they'll play the Caps and the Manchester Storm, two teams that have only just beaten them by a single goal as well. Earlier on, I got a chance to chat with the host of the Purple Army podcast, Mr. Ross McGregor. Okay, well, delighted to be joined at this point, as we're going to talk about the Brayhead Clan. Let's get the host of the Purple Army podcast, Mr. Ross McGregor. How are you, buddy?
I've had better days. I've had better stats this season as well.
What on earth is going on in Brayhead?
Do you know, we were just talking about it, you know, before I came on here. We're not that far away. The only game, you know, we've played, Fife, we lost by a goal into overtime. The Nottingham game I thought was an unfair reflection, a 4-1. It was a lot closer. The game that really get thrashed was Cardiff. That we were never in that game. But you know, the other two games we've lost, Manchester and Edinburgh over the weekend, they were one goal games, another one getting into overtime. It's just not knitting at the moment. The players aren't finding each other. I'm just hoping, you know, teams go on and bad runs, as you know, Patrick. I'm just hoping this is just getting us out the road at the start of the season.
Is it symptomatic of an improving Gardner Conference? The game against Edinburgh, the game against Manchester, the fact that, you know, that all around you as well, teams are improving. It's going to be a much tighter race amongst those teams.
Oh, absolutely. And Manchester are a completely different proposition, watching them on Saturday night than watching them last year. I mean, we lost twice to them out of the 8 games last year, and that was when we were down. You know, Matt Keith, Scott Pitt, I think somebody else was out as well, and we had Ben Davis, I think, was away in GB duty. We were really light the 2 games that we lost to Manchester, but they're a very different proposition, very good team, bigger, stronger. And that was, they were very kind of sloppy as well on Saturday. And it did come down to a bounce of the puck at the end of the day. But they're a very good team, and you're right. Edinburgh as well, if they can keep that team together, they can go from strength to strength as well. So yeah, definitely the Gardner Conference is getting better. And, you know, we've maybe put more money into our team as well, but not at the same percentage that everybody else is improving. And I think as well, you know, you're putting a team together and you're looking at things. You're not got a proper scout network as such. You're taking the word of somebody that maybe played with a guy before. It doesn't guarantee to me that the team's going to gel and knit together. And the big worry I think we've got is that that's the case, that the players just aren't going to get on and gel as a team. Again, we're all just kind of sitting hoping that this is just a blip. There's been passages of play, and there's been enough glimpses of us to think that this is a blip, but, you know, the longer that blip goes on, the more worrying and the more difficult it is to get out of, isn't it?
Yeah, is it because there's been maybe such an overhaul defensively? You look at, you know, right back to Chris Holton, and then coming through, and the fact that Gotts is gone, and McKeever's gone, Fritch is gone, Jackman's gone. You've changed that whole unit. Has there been a real change to the look of the day, like the whole attitude of the day? Is it a problem that you're leaking goals?
The D have, to me, have been playing pretty well individually. They just don't look as if they're playing together. And I would include the forwards in that as well, because it's obviously a five-man D, you know, six-man if you include the goaltender. But individually, they all look great. I mean, Hendricks is doing what you expect Hendricks to do. You know what his weaknesses are going to be. You know what his strengths are, and he's doing it. It's the same. Baldwin's only just come in. He missed the start of the season, so we were playing 5D for a couple of weekends. He's probably not up to speed yet anyway, so he's kind of got that excuse as such. But the other guys are doing fine individually. They're making good plays, but there's too many, for me, there's been too many blown coverages. It kind of suggests that everybody's not quite sure where everybody's maybe meant to be in the system quite yet. Again, you know, I think that'll probably come. The thing Ryan started doing, you know, over the last couple of games has been changing up the lines, and sometimes you can tinker too much. But big name guys like Ulmer, he was the guy we thought was going to come in and you know, rattle a lot of goals. I think he's got one assist in 5 games. And we were talking about that in our own show just earlier. It's the guys for last year in their top 9, you know, our first three lines, the scoring lines. It's Pitt, Keith and Levitt that are doing the business. The new guys seem to be struggling. I don't know. I mean, McKeever talked to us last year about the big ice making that much difference. It took him a while to adjust. He was a bit of a whipping boy in the first month or two of the season until he thought could get used to it, and then realised what a good player he was. I mean, I don't know if it's the same for the forwards. I don't know if they're struggling with a sort of bigger ice, maybe. I don't know. But then a lot of them have played in Europe, so they should be used to it.
I was going to say, the likes of Jeff Ulmer spent quite a career going around the European game. You know, he's played in the DEL. He's come in from Innsbruck. You know, he should be used to the big ice. So you think it's just like some of the big game players aren't playing the big game. So rather than, I will maybe steer away from the negative side of it, have there been any shining lights? Has there been any, like, green shoots that you can see that we're that, you say, you're not that close to turning it around?
Well, as I say, there's been passages of play. I mean, the game against Nottingham, for example, the first period the guys came out and they were doing the things that we weren't doing last year, hitting hard in the forecheck. You know, they were letting the defenders know they were there. The forwards were doing really, really well. It kind of faded. And I think it's the whole, that sort of passage of play has been indicative of what we've been like all year. We've been playing well for 10, 15 minutes at a time and then playing poorly for 10 or 15 minutes. And it's kind of been that way all season so far. If they can just stretch it out to longer in the game and give themselves a better chance. We haven't had much puck luck either, I have to say. Mm-hmm. There's been a few, I mean, that can make a big difference. The goal that won Manchester the game, for example, was a shot for the point, and it was right on the angle that I could see it where I was sitting. And it's a C&I puck. went right in the top corner. And, you know, the don't get me wrong, the Storm done well to shield and screen Tchaikovsky from seeing it. So, you know, they earned the goal. I'm not saying that. But in any other day, it could have went, hit the post, it could have went wide. And their first goal as well was another strange one. The power play was coming to the end. Nobody'd bother, you know, Tchaikovsky wasn't banging his stick. Nobody seemed to be doing it on the bench to let the guys know in the ice that the power play was coming to an end. All of a sudden, I can't remember who it was, sprung out the box and goal, you know, you're equalised. And you could see the problem though, because as soon as Manchester equalised, the heads went down. And it was kind of the same, against Edinburgh as well. We scored first last night, Sunday night, and then when Edinburgh equalised, again you could see the heads go down a wee bit. And obviously with all the stuff building up, you know, the guys are going to be more under pressure. But yeah, you're right, there's green shoots. You can see the passages of play. I mean, the goal they scored against Edinburgh, Matt Keith's goal, was a fantastic move. And it was, they were managing to string the passes, they were finding tape to tape, and Keith was alone in the slot, and it was there, and it was a really beautiful goal. And you're thinking, you know, that is some, that we, they are capable of doing it. I mean, Jeff Wilmer's wife's just the baby, and, you know, we talked about that with Mizey last year. You kind of lost Mizey for a wee while last year.
Yeah.
So this is not the Jeff Wilmer of, you know, 20 years experience playing hockey as a professional. This is not his mean. He will improve. There's no doubt about it. It's just a matter of how long we need to wait for it to happen. And I saw Daniel Ausberg scored a couple of goals against yourselves at Brayhead. He's got a scoring touch, but he's got nil poids as we stand after five games. Yeah. And we know he's got the touch to score goals. Rose Hill's obviously been wearing a cage up until last night. With his broken palate and the puck he took to the face, that's probably had an impact on him, but he's been doing well. And Peacock, you know, your old friend, Peaks, he's the 2 points.
Sorry, never heard him.
He's been doing okay as well. You know, yeah. As you say, you know, the green shoots are there. I'm not overly concerned. It's not a great start to the season, but I'm hoping tomorrow night they just need to get that one win. And I could see it happening, but then they've got a tough trip down to Manchester to play a team that, you know, they played close but beat them, and then we've got you guys coming in on Sunday. It could go either way, to be honest.
Well, that's it. You've got those two games before the Belfast game to sort of get revenge for the two games that have passed, the 2-1 goal games that have passed, the game again, you know, a back to back obviously now against the Caps, and then Manchester down in Altrincham before the Giants come in. So, you know, an opportunity at least in those two games to warm up for the Giants game, and then to lose that one, hopefully.
We'll see. I'm saying nothing. I just don't know what you can say. It could all go horribly wrong, and I could be sitting next Monday night talking about us going 8 defeats in the trot, and it could all go horribly right. It's a very fine margin at the moment.
It seems
I don't know. The guys are there. I like the guys we've got. They've all shown something. I really do like the D, to be honest with you. And apart from the Cardiff game, the D haven't really done an awful lot wrong. So yeah, I don't know. I'm just sitting here praying. The Clan, we had a bad season in season 3. A lot of the fans aren't used to it. Do you know something? It sounds a bit strange to say it. In the long run, it might not do some of the fans any harm to have a kind of mediocre season. I mean, I don't want it to happen, but do you know, it might not do some of the fans a bit harm to have one. Cause some of the newer fans that we've picked up over the last 2 seasons that weren't there in season 3, you know, they're only used to us kind of hovering about the top end of the league. And when the conferences, if they do disappear next year, it's going to be a lot harder for us to do that, I think.
Absolutely. But don't, as we say ourselves, you know, it's sport, mate. You don't get two highs in the high, don't get two lows in the low. With regards to you guys and the Purple Army podcast, you've been going now for a full season, your second season now. You did a live one today. You know, where, if people want to listen in, where can they get it?
We're on Spreaker, as Purple Army Podcast. We've got a couple of our own apps. You can get an Android, just Purple Army Podcast. You get it in iTunes, Purple Army Podcast. On the website is a Spreaker one that hosts it. And obviously on iTunes as well on the desktop. So there's loads of places you can get a hold of it. That's what you want to do. Yep.
Fantastic, mate. Well, listen, thanks very much for chatting to us, and I'm not going to wish you luck for Sunday, but good luck in the games beforehand.
No bother. Are you going to Manchester on Saturday?
I'm not going to be, mate. No, I'm off to Copenhagen this weekend.
Oh, you enjoy that. I'll be heading down to Manchester on Saturday, so.
Well, enjoy it and give television's Neil the Coach Russell my best.
Will do if I see him. Thank you.
Thanks to Ross. Aaron, I'll come to you on this one. The Clan, it's been very difficult for them of late.
It has. I mean, just looking through the results you mentioned already, you know, before, in the introduction, the two losses they've had recently. But prior to that, you know, they've had a couple of shoo-ins as well. You know, 5-1 loss against Cardiff, a 4-1 home loss against the Panthers. They lost early on to the Flyers at home as well. So, you know, looking at the roster they've got, at some point it's got to come right for them. You know, and I worry that. You know, maybe we'll be the team that it comes right against. But just looking, you know, you look through the roster and there's a lot of class there. You know, they've got, you know, I'm going to try and pronounce this, Zajkowski in goal.
Zajkowski, yeah. Apparently they refer to him.
Yeah, well, yeah, that might go well. That might work quite well. I might use that from now on. But, you know, he played very well against ourselves in the pre-season games. You know, it was very difficult to beat. They've brought in a bit of, you know, a tough Trevor Hendricks there, who's a bit of history against Belfast over the years as well. But up front, you know, a guy, you know, fair enough, he's 39 years old and there's the PC Druin rule probably in effect there, but he's a class act. You know, he scored huge points in this league before.
From what Ross was saying there, he just doesn't seem to have clicked yet, so maybe that's only a matter of time.
Yeah, I think that seems to be the thing with the whole of the whole of the clan. They just haven't quite clicked yet, and I think they will. You know, and the one guy that I haven't yet mentioned, is Craig Peacock. You know, a guy who knows where the net is and who has a bit of a point to prove against Belfast, I suppose, having sort of been let go for the reasons that were well discussed during the summer, or decided to move on due to the reasons that were discussed during the summer. So I think it'll be a tough game. I think that the clan will get it right at some point. But I suppose it shows that, you know, the Giants are maybe right in stacking the early season with their Challenge Cup game. Because unfortunately, the clan have found themselves, you know, I think it's three or four of their games have been in the league so far. And, you know, they're falling behind in the league already. They'll be looking to get that first win, whether they get that against Edinburgh or Manchester prior to playing us, I'm not sure. But, you know, they'll certainly be looking to put down a marker against the Giants.
Most certainly. That game is at 6 p.m. at the Brayhead Arena. Of course, there's no webcast involved in that. We'll keep an eye on at AVFTB. We'll try to keep you updated where to get all the information on that game. And on that note, gentlemen, I'm going to call it a day because...
No. I've got just a tiny, tiny bit of any other business.
Okay.
It's a bit of a coming soon. Keep an eye for next week's show. We're going to have a couple of interviews, hopefully. Oh, yes. Maybe have John Pelly on. We'll have Adam Keith, maybe Laura Small. On the 1st of October, the Giants are doing a special night in aid of the Scott Matzka appeal. Scott obviously diagnosed with ALS. And, you know, whenever we had the night for Tom Simpson, clubs from around the league stepped up bucket collections, did whatever they can and they raised money for us. And this is our opportunity as a club to pay it forward, to pay it back, whatever way you would want to look at it. But we're going to have a much smaller scale than the Bleed Tide for Tom night. But, you know, the Giants are going to have a special night to raise money on the 1st of October. So if you can get down to the SSE that night, keep an eye out for what's happening. But as I say, next week too, we'll have a bit more information on that just to keep you, but put it in your diary.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to that and having chats with Kiefer. And maybe I say, former Belfast Giants forward and former Cardiff Devils forward and a former linemate of Scott Matzka in John Pelly. Thanks to Jonathan Boxall, Mark Lefebvre, Stephen Swan, Ross McGregor. Thanks to you two gents. It's been a bit of a technological disaster, but we've put it together as best we could. So, thanks for anybody who's stuck around with us, and wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.